The text is the gospel reading from St. John. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has been 46 years. It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Here ends our text. I like movies where things aren't what they appear to be. The bad guys are good, the good are bad, and the crime never really happened. In these types of movies, very often you cheer for things you find out later you shouldn't have. This sermon is like those movies. The tables get turned in two ways. First, Jesus goes in the most holy city on earth, Jerusalem, into the most holy building in that city, the temple, during the most holy season of the year, Passover, and he turns over the tables of those providing the items essential for Passover. Now, nobody in Jerusalem thought those tables needed turning. Nobody thought the men selling cattle, sheep, and dove ought to be driven out of the temple. Where else would people get animals that were guaranteed acceptable to the priest for sacrificing? Were people traveling for days supposed to bring an animal from home? What if the animal died on the way? What if it did not pass inspection once it got to the temple? The buying and selling going on were necessary. So was the money changing. The temple tax was collected at Passover. It had to be paid in Jewish coin. Roman coins weren't accepted because they had pagan images stamped on them. Since Jews came from all over the Roman Empire to Passover, they carried coins from all over. For a small fee, they could exchange their foreign coin for Jewish. How else could pious Jews pay their temple tax? And why shouldn't they be able to do their money changing and animal buying in one place? Even first century people like convenience. The whole arrangement was just fine with everybody until Jesus showed up and started turning tables over. He said it was wrong to make God's house a marketplace. It was wrong to turn his temple into a bank. The argument that it was done for the convenience of worshipers, well, that didn't move Jesus. Since when was worship supposed to be convenient? Since when was it supposed to be made easy? Since when was worship supposed to be something that wouldn't interfere too much with your day? The argument that it raised money for the temple and its ministry, well, that didn't move Jesus either. Is that how God had revealed that his temple and ministers were to be provided for? Were they supposed to set up a for-profit business? Were they supposed to sell necessary religious items? No! The Lord's temple and ministers were to be provided for out of the fruit that the Word of God produced. Thankful worshipers, overflowing from the riches of God's grace, were to support the Lord's Word and workers from free and willing hearts, not by patronizing temple businesses. Aside from teaching the wrong thing about worship and the support of God's ministry, the buying, selling, and money changing in the temple interfered with its primary purpose. God's house was to be a place of prayer for all nations. The animals with their flies and their droppings and their smell, they were bought and sold in the only place where Gentiles could pray. The money changing with their clinking coins and chattering about exchange rates made the Gentile place of prayer anything but peaceful. So Jesus turned the tables over. He turned the tables over of those making the temple a one-stop shopping center. Although church leaders thought it was a fine idea, Jesus showed them what God thought of it. He didn't do it gently. Jesus made a whip out of the small ropes that they used to tether the animals, and he drove them all out of the temple. Get what that means, that translation is wrong. It doesn't mean just sheep and cattle. Jesus took a whip, not just to cattle, not just to sheep, not just to doves, but to the people, buying, selling, and exchanging money. He wasn't polite. He wasn't kind. Jesus did not say, "Everybody remain calm and file out in an orderly manner, please." No. Jesus bellowed across that open area, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" And as Jesus shouted, with one hand he whipped, and with the other hand he swept the neatly stacked coins off the tables. Then he violently turned those tables over. Those buyers and those sellers, those bankers and their customers, they got what they deserved, didn't they? Bravo, Jesus. He wasn't afraid of the religious establishment. He was not afraid of popular opinion. He turned the table over of those who needed them turned. Bravo. Wait a minute. Aren't there tables in your life that Jesus could turn over? Aren't there things in your heart and mind that should be driven out? Aren't there things in your world that interfere with your worshiping God? Aren't there things in your life that Jesus could take a whip to? Before you get all excited about a table-turning Jesus, you better check your own tables. Oh, you don't think you need to. Then you didn't listen when the Old Testament lesson was read. If you evaluate your life in the light of the commandments, you'll find plenty of things on your tables following up your relationship with God. Children, are you always honoring your parents? Parents, are you content with what the Lord has given you? Are you always coveting more? Men, are you committing adultery in your hearts? Women, are you gossiping? People, are we fearing, loving, and trusting God above all things always? Examine your worship life too. Is that godly? The Jews thought their worship life in the temple was godly. But what did Jesus do? He trashed it in a big way. If Jesus walked into your heart the way he walked into the temple, what things would he find there that needed to be driven out? What things on your tables make them ripe for overturning by Jesus? You know, showing up here once a week to go through the motions, that's not God-pleasing worship. Communing at this altar each week, well, that's not necessarily either. There may not be large cattle and bleating sheep in your worship area, but is your mind occupied by other sights and sounds as you worship? We don't have money changers sitting in the aisles, but do you have money worries sitting on your heart? Jesus wants such things driven out of your hearts. And how dare we pretend we're worshiping God when our hearts are really off somewhere else? How many tables Jesus could turn over in my life? Tables neatly stacked with sins that aren't that bad to me. Tables stacked with my personal religious opinions. Tables stacked with things that I think Jesus should accept because, well, I do. But Jesus won't. Jesus will turn these tables, pull out a whip, and start lashing us with it and drive us out of this church, his kingdom, and heaven itself. Not so fast. Things aren't always what they seem. This sermon is about turning tables over, but it's also about the tables being turned. It's about Jesus coming into our life and violently turning over the tables where we've kept our sins and sinfulness neatly stacked. But it's also about things being switched around unexpectedly. Jesus comes into our lives with his whip held high and shouting threats. Jesus scatters our pet sins and lashes out at our hypocrisy. Just like the people in the temple, we run for cover. But then suddenly, the tables are turned. The judgment for profaning God's house is death. The judgment for going through the motions of worship is damnation. But not a single Jew died that day, though they were guilty of profaning God's house. Not a single Jew was damned that day, though they were hypocrites in worship. Likewise, not one of you has ever been struck dead for sleeping while God proclaimed his holy word. Not one of you has had a heart attack for daydreaming in church. Not one of us has went to hell because we only pretend to be pious and repentant when taking communion. That's because the tables were turned. Jesus enters the temple of our hearts and he finds a vileness that has no business being in the heart of a Christian. But who suffers the punishment for these sins? Look at the text. Those who bought and sold and exchanged money in the temple were not hauled out and crucified. Jesus was. Likewise, those of us who sleep and daydream or just go through the motions of worship, we're not delivered over to be tortured and put to death. Jesus was in our place. When the tables were turned on Jesus, when he went from beloved son to despised sinner, it was not quiet, it was not gentle, it was not tender. Jesus did not have a whip made of small ropes applied to his back. He had a leather one with sharp bits of metal in the end. Jesus did not have tables of money or sin dumped out. He had all of our sins dumped on him and his holy precious blood poured out to cover those sins. The threats of the law were not shouted in Jesus' ears because he was a sinner. No, the punishments of the law were brought down on Jesus' head till he cried, till he broke, until he died, because he carried our sins. The tables are turned during Lent. The holy, righteous Son of God is treated like the worst sinner on earth. We, very guilty sinners, are treated like righteous, holy daughters and sons of God. The tables are turned. Jesus got what we deserve. We get what he deserves. Jesus gets lashed by leather whips. We get caressed by God's love. Jesus gets all the tables of sin and filth dumped on him. We get his holy precious blood poured out on us. Jesus gets driven out of God's house to die. We get invited into God's house to live. You know, we should come to church expecting to be whipped outside for all our sins. Instead, for Jesus' sake, we're invited in to be forgiven for them. We should come to the baptismal font expecting to be drowned for our sins. Instead, for Jesus' sake, our sins are drowned and we are given life. We should come to communion expecting spoiled food and bitter poison for the sins we've committed just this week. Instead, Jesus gives us his body as bread and his blood as sweet wine for new life and salvation. The only way for you to be saved is if the tables are turned. The tables where you stack your sins, they need to be overturned. Jesus must come into your life with his whip lashing and his word damning every one of your sins. Once the tables are turned over and you're on the run, you must believe the tables also have just been plain turned around. Jesus has gone to the cross, getting punished for all your sins, while you go to God, getting all the grace, love, and mercy that Jesus deserves. Because Jesus got the tables turned on him, you can have a place at God's table. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.